Music from Monitor, the sounds of our times, light my fire. For me, Ted Steele, to leap ahead with happy heart. It's Andy Williams' latest.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound of
love.
always a man of his time. And this time, it's tax time. Pay the $2, Henry.
Well, hot dog, it's income tax time again. Not the tax you pay on bread or gasoline or your house. Not the one they've been taking out of your salary all year. This is the one where you have to go to the bank and hock the baby in order to keep out of jail. Still, it's a free country. You have the right to vote every 4 years against the man in power. Whoever's in power right now said something the other day about reducing the military budget by $2 billion. Then his Secretary of Defense said no, about half a billion maybe. The Secretary of Defense is the man who is making the defense against Vietnam. He's winning it, of course, same as the last administration. He's bringing home 100,000 men soon, or 50,000, or none. If he brings any home at all, he'll need more money to help the people help themselves. That is, the 10% surcharge which was to be taken off will stay on, or increase. Pay your tax happily, because some of it will go to build an anti-ballistic missile defense system. Not a whole one, a part of one. It'll be designed to keep out just a few missiles, in case the Chinese send just a few. To build a system which would keep them all out is either impossible, according to the scientists, or too expensive, according to everybody else. So send in your money knowing that it'll help to keep 80 million people alive, or 40 million, or a dozen. The smart thing to do is, if you have any money left at all, try to be living in Mexico when the time comes. Some of your dough will go toward building wonderful new highways so that the people in Flagstaff can get to Nogales and save 10 minutes over the old way. And this is very good for the economy because as soon as the highway is built, they line it with pizza parlors and cut-rate shoe stores to blot out the sight of the ugly trees, many of which are infected anyway. Be of good cheer. Some of your money will go to several committees which will investigate where the money goes. These committees will each write 600-page reports, and they will form the nucleus of the president's library, a beautiful building to be built by popular subscription from money you will have left over if you happen to discover a sunken galleon stuffed with emeralds. This is Henry Morgan suggesting that you just pay your tax and stop sniveling, unless you're a member of the mafia, in which case, please take me to Mexico with you.
Ah, those blankety-blank tax blanks. That's what Monitor will be looking at next weekend, and everything else connected in any way with taxes. Be with us. All the Monitor features, plus our tax report. Right now, if you know people who are wrestling with their returns, why don't you send them some flowers?
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner, and now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
The fifth dimension, ready to give us a sign, Aquarius.
Yeah.
and you'll be in the audience for an exciting onstage performance by Miss Vicky Carr in a moment here on the Monitor Beacon.
Unlike so many childhood ailments, poisoning accidents are 100% preventable. To understand this statement is to understand a growing child. As a youngster progresses to age 5, he crawls, then is able to lift himself up and toddle, and finally climb. Through each stage, he explores the world around him, investigating by reaching, feeling, and eventually putting an object into his mouth. Grown-ups have become so used to the helpful effects of medicines, the gratifying results of a detergent, that we overlook the hazards involved if these products are accidentally swallowed. We should rearrange the storage of household products as a youngster goes through the various stages where his reach and consequently the danger changes. Are your aspirins on the bedside table? Iron pills in your purse? Is the bowl cleaner on the bathroom floor? This public service message is brought to you by WNBC, cooperating with the Planning Council for National Poison Prevention Week. WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
My name is Ted Steele, and speaking of names, here's one to remember. Florencia Becenta de Casillas Martinez Cardona. She's a little Mexican-American girl from El Paso, Texas, and as Vicky Carr, she's making it big as a singer. Here on stage for Monitor, Miss Vicky Carr at the Persian Room.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long. For once in a phase, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I'll make my claim the same, and then the grass will be greener, and the air will be cleaner, and my life be serener than heaven knows where. Heaven knows where. After today, I shall have put my fear goodbye. After today,
Vicky Carr on stage for Monitor. Now, Monitor Sports. The American and National Football Leagues held their annual meetings this week, and to put it mildly, there was a difference of opinion. Here's Commissioner of Pro Football Pete Rozelle speaking to Bill McCord on Monitor's open line.
Commissioner, do you have any special feelings about the moving of the Super Bowl from Miami to New Orleans?
Well, I think that it's healthy from the standpoint that we are reaching another city that has tremendous interest in professional football, as they've demonstrated. I think they averaged over 75,000 attendance this past season. Certainly we couldn't have improved on Miami, but we felt that it might be well to balance out the 4 years by playing in a second NFL city and to give another city an opportunity to host the game.
Now, a six-man NFL-AFL committee suggested that the leagues retain their identities, but AFL owners want a lot more. What are the current realignment suggestions?
Well, this has been a major issue this week, of course, of our meetings. I think that all 26 are trying to do what they think will be the best for the future structure of our game, and of course have different plans for achieving that. But I think they all feel that if possible, it would be helpful to preserve identity. We've had 10 years of a very strong rivalry developed, and so we've just been reviewing various plans that might achieve that, as well as the other aims that everyone has.
Is there any one realignment suggestion that you personally favor?
I just think that it's important to, one, try and preserve the identity, two, to devise a plan that would have relatively small numerical groupings, and to also preserve home and home competition within those smaller numerical groupings. If we can just come close to achieving those three elements, I'd be very pleased.
Do you have any idea when the owners will meet again and where?
No, I would think, however, within the next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner, is the AFL solidly united in its move for a complete amalgamation?
Well, that really is a moot question because there will be complete amalgamation. I think it's just how that amalgamation comes about is one of the differences here this week. There will be one league, the National Football League, in 1970. However, through division of conferences and so forth and semantics, we will attempt to remain have a public rivalry. But we will, in effect, be one league, legally and operationally.
Is there any special role that you play in these negotiations, or are you sitting on the sidelines waiting for the decision to be reached before implementing it?
I guess more or less the role of a moderator and attempting to keep abreast of the views among all the people and, where possible, to bring them together.
All right, thank you very much, Commissioner Pete Rozelle.
Thank you, Bill.
This is Bill McCord for Monitor Sports.
And here are some late results and comments from the Monitor Sports Desk. Lou Alcindor closed out his college basketball career today by leading UCLA to an unprecedented third straight NCAA championship. Alcindor scored 37 points, 24 in the first half, and pulled down 21 rebounds as he paced the Bruins to a 92-72 victory over Purdue. It was UCLA's fifth NCAA title in 6 years, and the fifth for UCLA coach Johnny Wooden, a record. In the consolation game for third place, Drake downed North Carolina 104-84. Underdog Temple captured the National Invitational Basketball Tournament title with an 89-76 win over Boston College. The defeat spoiled Bob Cousy's swan song as a college coach. In the consolation game, Tennessee 64, Army 52. And that's the way it is today in sports. Now in music, here's the way it used to be, remembered by Engelbert Humpford Dink.
Lonely table just for one, in a bright and crowded room, while the music has begun, I drink to memories in the still the same. Hello.
It's the first weekend in spring, and the family cars are ready to go along with you on all those warmer weather plans. Here's something that can make them more ready than ever.
Quaker State your car to keep it running young.
It's Be Kind to Thoroughbred Horses Week, and that means that big horsepower under the hood of your car. Quaker State Motor Oil coats, protects, lubricates, brings out all the performance you paid for.
Quaker State your car. Quaker State your car.
Monitor's blessings to all our listeners in Omaha, Nebraska, who get together on station KFAB. My name is Ted Steele. Dial Plaza 7-8866 and WNBC Radio will put you in contact. The Sunday evening telephone show that invites you to discuss today's issues with three clergymen. This is Mike Moss. I'm your host. My guests are the Reverend James Crawford, Rabbi Mordecai Waxman, and Father Don Pryor. It's Monitor. Moving ahead with a new sound of music, the way the Arbors put it together in the letter.
Oh,
Akron, the getaway, the monitor way.
When a young man's fancy turns, it's for love his poor heart yearns. Cause it's spring and girls all sing.
Hi, I'm Ted Steele, who thinks there's hope for a country in which a bank robber just today handed a threatening note to a girl teller, and she handed it back to him with the grammar corrected. Hey, would you call that the first robin of spring? Well, I'd call Glenn Campbell a singer who's going places. And where he's going right now is Galveston.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing.
Surveyed the new freedoms, which are very much a part of our times, we discover that people are not only concerned with what other people are doing, but also the way that they're doing it. Elizabeth Post, author of the revised Emily Post Book of Etiquette, has measured today's rebellion and has some thoughts on the manners of its manner.
There are two slogans which we hear repeated time after time today. One is telling it the way it is, and one is doing your own thing. And I'm frequently asked if these two slogans don't conflict with the basic principles of etiquette. I don't really think they basically do conflict. After all, telling it the way it is simply is honesty. And there is nothing contrary to etiquette in that. However, there also is a question of tact, which is very much a part of etiquette. Tact means that you don't have to say something that doesn't need to be said. Sure, you've got to be truthful. You've got to say it the way it is. But you don't have to always say it at all. And this is an important thing for people to remember. As far as doing your own thing goes, that gets back to the question of freedom, which is such a cry today. Of course you can do your own thing. Everybody can. But what a mess if everybody did without thinking of the effect on the people around him. I do think doing your own thing has a limit. It's fine. I like the independence. I like the originality and so forth. But you've got to have responsibility to the rest of the world and people around you.
Mrs. Elizabeth Post of the Etiquette Posts, doing her own thing by telling it like it is. Comedian Bob Newhart, a keen observer of the social scene in his own right, sometimes hesitates to look squarely at a problem or anything else that comes into view. On stage for Monitor, bashful Bob Newhart.
I don't know if you've been following some of the things that are going on here in Vegas, but they break me up. Like, they're having a big topless thing going on up in Henderson. You know, they're closing the topless clubs up there. And they have an all-girl topless band at the Aladdin, and you can't get close to the place. It's jammed every night, you know, and they all go to watch the drummer or the accordion player, you know. And a flower, you know, at the end of the show, no matter how badly she plays. But that is it. It's a feat of some kind, I guess. No, not a feat, but it is, you know, that's a bad phrase. But almost every major city except Las Vegas, because of the Lido show and the Philido show, they have a problem with topless clubs. You know, they don't, like in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles, the craze really started in Los Angeles. Usually what happens is the city fathers will go down to one of these clubs for like 6 or 8 weeks, you know, and try to decide whether they're violating an ordinance or not, you know. And Los Angeles, which started the whole thing, we not only have dinner topless clubs, they are starting luncheon topless clubs, and they're now starting breakfast topless clubs. This is true. I'm not making this up. Now, these are two guys. This is a little show thing. Two guys walk into a bar, a restaurant. It's a topless restaurant, only they don't know that it's a topless club, you see. Yeah, this is a real nice place, sir. It sure is, yeah. They must have great food here, huh? They do a hell of a luncheon business, don't they? Oh, hi. Hi, hi, miss. Don't stare at her. Just look at the table like I'm doing here. Yeah, I'd like a scotch on the rocks. Water will be fine. Seven, whatever you have, it doesn't matter. Two seven up and water, that'll be fine. Yeah. Is she gone? Yeah. Do you believe that, Eddie? Did you see that? Well, she must have been late for work. That's ridiculous. We better get out of here. They're going to raid this place, no question about it. We better call the wives, tell them we're here. You got any change on you?
I don't know.
Oh, hi. Hi, miss. You have a pair of nickels. Two nickels for a dime?
Oh, brother. On stage for Monitor, Bob Newhart with something in his eye. That's the funny side of it, the male patron side. But what's the side of the topless girls? Here's a Monitor interview with an owner of a topless restaurant in San Francisco.
Frank, what about the girls themselves? The individual girl doesn't last a long time as a topless dancer. They might last a week, 2 weeks, months. But there's always another girl that's going to take her place, even if it's a girl that's going to dance for the first time.
Where do these girls come from? What is their background, largely?
They come from all over. They're from every state in the union, or big towns, small towns. The girls are 80% hippie types that don't really want to work in stores, offices, and behind counters or things like that. They just want to have an easy way to make a buck for their own men.
Are they looking for marriage? You know, they say about airline hostesses, they don't last too long because they wind up with a good marriage. What about topless girls?
Marriage is out of the question for them. For now, I think they're looking just for some male to live with, pay their bills, or whatever.
And for their future, they don't look good.
They're not thinking of any future.
Ruby and the Romantics hurting each other.
No one in the world ever had another sweetheart. I love
young people may be hurting themselves more than anyone else, and three big stars of show business take a very personal interest in the matter. In a few minutes, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
When a patient enters an Easter Seal Rehabilitation Center, he has the assurance that highly skilled physical therapists will use the most modern and advanced methods to rehabilitate him, to teach him to use an artificial limb, or to train him to walk with braces on both legs. He'll work with occupational therapists, too, to strengthen his weakened hands and to increase his range of motion. Maximum physical restoration is accomplished by registered occupational therapists who employ graded activities. Physical and occupational therapy are very important to the handicapped individual if he is to be saved from a life of dependency. Easter Seal therapists work long and patiently with each person, helping to work the miracles of rehabilitation. And that's your help, too. Because you care enough to give to Easter Seals each year. Because of you, thousands of crippled children are taught to lead useful, productive lives.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Ted Steele here, thinking about all the mountains I've known that have labored and brought forth whatever. Well, that's life. And here's Jerry Vail. Survey of the new freedoms this week, especially among young people, brought a reaction from three well-known show business personalities. Gordon McCrae spoke of his daughter Heather, a young actress, who has appeared nude on stage in the musical Hair.
I don't like it. Heather promised me, sort of, that she wouldn't do it. Of course, I haven't seen the show yet. I hear she's magnificent in it, and she's been in it about 2 months now. And I was a little disappointed, in as much as that I don't think you need to do that in the theater. And I told Heather, I spent all my life acting and whatever, and if there's such a thing as inheritance, you've inherited my talent that God gave both of us. And an actor, an actress, expresses themselves with a gesture, a look, a thought, and I don't think you have to undress.
Sergio Facchi, the singer, who was raised in old world traditions, spoke about the relationship between parents and children.
I never lost what my father and my mother taught to me as a child. The first thing was good manners. That's why I demand respect for my children. And I don't think that a group of children like my two, you know, would give trouble to anybody. And actually, I found that nowadays, because we don't take time to teach our children good manners, we don't give them enough attention and enough love. Child should be taught and even spanked when he doesn't want to understand what's good and what's wrong.
Singer Connie Francis had some sharp comments about this younger generation.
Our young people in the United States have nothing to look up to. They have no leaders. They have no respect for any form of authority. No respect for religion, for their schools, for their parents, for their government, for anything. There isn't even respect for love. The sex doesn't include love to these kids. You know, it's kind of fun and kooky and experimental and very little romanticism left in our young people.
Connie Francis, who understands romanticism, and for a lady, is there anything more romantic than the wedding cake, huh, Connie?
Don't be troubled by me, cause I'm tired from working around the house when day is done. Don't think you're better, cause you can't afford that dishwasher to make my life more fun. You know the measure of a man is much more than just the money he can make. And every woman knows love, joy, and tears come with the wedding cake. The wedding cake is not all icing and love and tender whispers in the dark. One slice is concerned for all your dreams, pray they won't come true and break your heart.
Today, some items from the Monitor Sports Desk. In pro basketball, Jimmy Walker, a guard with the Detroit Pistons of the NBA, was fined $1,250 today for missing last night's game with Seattle. American and National Football League owners headed home from their annual meetings in Palm Springs, California today, amid reports that last season's NFL champion, the Baltimore Colts, and two other NFL teams may switch to the AFL as part of pro football's realignment for 1970. The owner of the Colts, Carol Rosenblum, is said to favor the switch, but he wants the right to name the other two NFL teams that also would shift leagues. There's a new world record in the men's 200-meter breaststroke event. Russia's Nikolai Pankin swam the distance in 2:26.5 in Minsk today, clipping 0.9 of a second from the mark held by his countryman, Vladimir Kosinski. Vladimir, why don't you send the new record holder some flowers, huh?
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner, and now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
Here's a footnote statistic that came to the surface as Monitor looked around this week at the new Freedom scene. An average college student in our country spends 2,000 hours in classes, seminars, and laboratories during his 4 years on campus, and 7,000 hours in extracurricular activity of one sort or another. And lately, some of them are leaving the sit-in or the picket line and actually studying. Enoch Light for Monitor. Well, the Swallows came back to Capistrano this week right on schedule, and some tourists who had stayed up all night to watch the arrival were slightly underwhelmed by it. Why only Swallows, one lady asked her husband. This isn't one of those restricted places, is it, huh? Right now, the return of the unrestricted NBC News on the Hour. I'm Ted Steele.
The obvious symbols of today's affluent society are the outdoor barbecue and the sports car. The most incongruous is the rat. According to the 1960 census, more than 4 million urban dwellings were completely dilapidated. 3 million more were badly deteriorated. And another 2 million had serious code violations or were overcrowded. If building codes were enforced, most ghetto buildings would be boarded up. During the 1930s, we saved the farms from starvation. Now the cities need help before they die of neglect. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Urban America, Box 6087. Washington, D.C.
Jack Hayes has something you want. Weekdays, noon to 3, on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.